you're not alone. I'm with you. I'm lonely too. What's that song? Can't be sung by two. A broken home, a broken heart, isolated and afraid. Open up, this is rain. I wanna get it through to you. You're not alone. You're not alone. Every night I stand in your place. Every tear on every face tastes the same.
I'm speaking with musician Curtis Stigers, originally from Boise, Idaho, and he lives there now. Stigers was signed to a recording contract by Arista Records in the 90s. He produced albums with them that were a smooth blend of soul and rock. He began moonlighting as a jazz vocalist at that time, performing and recording with artists such as Elton John, Eric Clapton, Prince, Bonnie Raitt, Rod Stewart. Since 2001, Curtis Stigers started a new career as a jazz singer, and he's known for his jazzy versions of pop songs, as well as performing and recording jazz standards. Welcome to Talkin' Music, Curtis.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah. So first of all, you worked with Prince?
Well, I did a lot of opening for people back in the early and mid-90s. I opened for, as you mentioned, Elton John and Eric Clapton and Bonnie Raitt and Joe Cocker, and I did open a couple of shows for Prince. I never met Prince. I probably could have forced the issue and tried to get, you know, somebody to introduce me, but I felt he was one of the people that I sort of wanted to maybe just keep the mystery. You know, there was something about Prince that is just unusual enough that, you know, if he'd have been a disappointment or if he'd have been rude or something, it would have really ruined the magic of it. So
right, he's sort of mysterious, and we like to leave it that way.
Yeah, if I'd have met him and he said, "How you doing?" You know, it would have. But I had a lot of fun back in those days. I had a couple of hit singles back in the early 90s and a hit album. And I recorded a track for the Bodyguard soundtrack, the Whitney Houston album, which ended up selling over 40 million copies around the world. So I had kind of a nice little time then when I got to live that sort of pop rock and roll dream. I got to ride around on tour buses and tour the world and meet my heroes. And then I just sort of found my way out of it. It never really fit. It was sort of the wrong size, I guess. I tend to be a little bit more of a normal person than a pop star. So I found my way back to jazz music, which I'd grown up doing, and started making I was going to say weird jazz records, but they're just jazz records that don't necessarily have all the same standards you expect a jazz singer to sing. I instead of recording only songs by George Gershwin and Cole Porter, I also include Elvis Costello and Merle Haggard and Nick Lowe and the Kinks and the Beatles, and I try to mix it up and bring songs that are, you know, more from my generation,
right,
and put them into my jazz music.
So on your latest album, Let's Go Out Tonight, you worked with producer Larry Klein, who's produced albums with Joni Mitchell, Madeline Peru, Melody Gardot, and you said that what Klein did when you worked with him was he really sort of took what you're good at and he distilled it down. Can you talk about working with him and how does he create that effortless kind of sound that he seems like he's such a pro at creating?
Well, Larry came up as a jazz bassist, and so he really knows jazz music. But he's best known recording singers like Joni and Sean Colvin, more singer-songwriters. So he's got a great appreciation for pop music, for folk music, for music that isn't necessarily doesn't have anything to do with jazz. So what we tried to do is to take elements of all the types of music that we love, and we have a lot in common, Larry and I, because I'm the same way. I mean, I love singer-songwriters. I'm a huge Steve Earle fan and Ron Sexsmith, and I mean, I love songwriters. I love that great singer-songwriter tradition. And yet, I'm a jazz singer, so I've always tried to bring that in. And so, rather than setting out to make a jazz record this time, Larry and I set out to make a beautiful record, a great record that pulled in stuff from all of those great types of music, from jazz, from soul, from pop, from rock, from country, from folk, and not worry about what it was called. And certainly, you know, there are a lot of elements of jazz, but it's not there aren't really long solos like you'd hear on a regular jazz singer record. You know, if there's a solo, it's 8 bars instead of 64 bars. So that's what I meant by he sort of distilled. He took this idea of making a jazz record, and then made every moment of the record sound like that one favorite moment you have on a jazz album. You know, the idea was to just to have dozens and dozens and dozens of those great moments, and not worry about showing off with long, blowing solos by the trumpet player. You know,
right. Does it change your performance style? Because I know you have improv and a little bit of comedy in your performance style.
Well, I grew up wanting to either be, you know, sort of Ella Fitzgerald or Ray Charles. You know, I always wanted to really show off my voice. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that the thing that is the most important is the song, is the story of the song. And I've gotten closer and closer to just paying attention to the song, but I still, you know, on occasion, especially in my live shows, I mean, I certainly show off a bit then, but Larry really, not just with me, but with the whole band, he always talked about less. We'd come in after recording a few versions of a song, we'd do a couple of takes and then come in to listen to it, and Larry would always say, okay, I want less from you. I want you to sing a little bit less. I want you to play drums with, you know, just quieter, less notes, more about supporting the song, the story of the song, as opposed to this is what cool riff I can play, or this is what, you know, this is how high and how loud I can sing. You know, it was more about singing the song almost to just one person, and that was something that he sort of brought up to me. Sing this like you're singing it to one person, and I love that. That's a great way to sing. And when you listen to a great Frank Sinatra record, or a great Willie Nelson recording, or you know, these iconic singers, you realize that they could be just singing to one person. You don't have to sing. You can just tell the song instead. Just tell the story.
And here's a track off of Curtis Steiger's latest album, Let's Go Out Tonight. Here's his version of Oh, How It Rained.
If you see a cloudy sky and there's no moon out tonight, that's when I hold my head in shame. 'Cause I remember when you left me, and oh, how it rained.
Rained.
Yes, I remember when she left me, and oh, how it rained.
Just rained.
Yeah. rain, rain, rain. Now when the wind is blowing high underneath the darkened sky and the branches brush my window pane, well, I remember when she left me, and oh, how it rained. Yes, I remember when you left me, and oh, how it rained. It rained. Muddy streets to ruin my shoes. I just can't get over you. Seems like walking's the only thing to do. Well, I remember when you left me, and oh, how it rained. It rained. Come on. It just rained, 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 rained. It just rained. It just rained. Yeah, it rained, rained, rained. As I remember when she left me, I had a war, how it rained. As I remember when she left me, that war, how it rained. It doesn't rain, rain, rain coming down, down, rain. Oh, how it will rain. It doesn't rain, rain.
And that was Curtis Stigers with the song "Oh, How It Rained," off his latest release, Let's Go Out Tonight. And I spoke with Curtis Stigers by phone last week. I saw that you've done several collaborations with Seth MacFarlane, who's the creator of Family Guy. Which,
yeah, and also and the host of the Oscars this year. He's Seth is has
oh,
exploded
that's right.
in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I met Seth MacFarlane in London about 4 or 5 years ago. We both sang on a big orchestral show with this wonderful orchestra, English British orchestra at Royal Albert Hall in London, and it was we were basically two of five singers singing with this giant orchestra and singing MGM musicals songs, which is a bit out of character for me. But
and a bit out of character for him, you would think, but not really.
Yeah, you would think that Seth MacFarlane would sort of make fun of people that sing that kind of stuff. That's I mean, he's so sarcastic, and his shows are so, you know, they take the mickey out of stuff like that. But he just happens to be a huge fan of musical theater and of old crooners, and he actually made an album of his own just last year. That I mean, it's kind of like like Frank Sinatra or more like Steve Lawrence. He's like an old school pop singer, you know, from the 40s or 50s. Anyway, we just hit it off. He's a funny guy, and it was an American to talk to in the cast,
right.
and we ended up touring with that orchestra, singing that stuff. And here's Seth MacFarlane, who's, you know, I mean, at that point, he only had a $100 million deal with Fox TV, you know, to do his shows.
Oh, yeah, back when he was poor.
Yeah, when he was poor. Now he's, you know, his career has finally taken off and he's hosting the Oscars. So here's Seth doing these shows for very little. I mean, I was cutting my fee by, you know, 100,000% just so I could sing with his orchestra. So you can imagine how much cheaper Seth was than normal, but he just did it for the love of it. And eventually we ended up recording. We toured with it for a bit and then just a few weeks, and then we recorded an album of all those things with this orchestra, and the orchestra is called the John Wilson Orchestra, and you can find that on iTunes. It's pretty cool. I went out to Boston to record a duet that Seth and I had done of "Well, Did You Ever," which is it's been done as a duet with Kylie Minogue and somebody, and it's been done with Iggy Pop and Debbie Harry, but the original version that I know anyway is from the film of High Society, and Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby sing it, and it's just fantastic. So we got to do that duet. I flew out to Boston because Seth was making his first movie that he was directing and had written at the time. And
Ted?
And it was Ted, and actually he called me about a week before I went out and said, hey, you know, why don't you stay an extra day and you can do a cameo in the movie. So if you watch really closely for about 3 seconds, I'm the star of that movie as the camera pans past the piano player in the restaurant where Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis are having dinner. There I am in Ted. And occasionally somebody will walk up to me and say, you were in Ted, weren't you? Yeah. Do you know about my other? I've got another side career. I have all these strange little things besides my records. I co-wrote and sang the theme song to the film Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that. So yeah, it was nominated for an Emmy. Was it nominated recently, or was this a while ago?
We were nominated the year after it started. So it's been 2 or 3 years since the show started, and the four of us who wrote the song were nominated for an Emmy, which was fun. We ended up losing to some guy called John Williams, some hacker.
Oh, whatever.
but it was nice to get a nomination, and it's fun. I've recorded a few songs that have ended up, you know, in the soundtrack to the show, and there are a couple of soundtrack albums out from Sons of Anarchy. And occasionally we'll do a live show, you know, where we'll play with the band that records a lot of the music for the show. And it's been an interesting thing because I make these records that, you know, you sort of call jazz, and even if you wouldn't call them jazz, they're definitely pretty subdued. And then, you know, I sing these raucous sort of blues rock things for Sons of Anarchy, and it's a nice chance to sort of play another role.
Yeah, and it goes along with that love of storytelling too. To work on that stuff. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure, you know, they describe you as a jazz singer, but I do feel like you do a lot of different things.
Well, I have, and certainly, you know, I mean, originally when I first was on the scene as a recording artist, people thought of me as a pop singer, you know, as a pop blue-eyed soul singer. So I guess I get bored easily. I'm always looking for something new to learn, to try, and you know, I take the, you know, the recording artist thing seriously. You know, I'm not interested in just you know, making music that, you know, the kids are going to listen to on the radio. And I guess that's lucky because it's pretty hard to figure out what kids are going to listen to on the radio.
Yeah, we had, for a while, we were trying to get more young people to be DJs here at KVNF. And, you know, we thought they must play this new music that we've never heard of. Then we get all these 20-year-olds in here that actually are into a lot of folk and bluegrass and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So
there's hope. There's hope for
kids are unpredictable.
I take great hope from that. That's great.
Yeah. So you're going to be playing at the Montrose Pavilion in our 10th annual benefit for KVNF and Hospice.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, we did it, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago. My band and I came out, maybe even longer than that. I met a guy called Steve Woody, who used to be the publisher of the Montrose newspaper, and I met him at a gig I did out in New York City, and through him I ended up coming out and doing one of these one of these shows previously several years ago, and so it's nice to get back. Yeah. One thing that I should mention, and there's no reason that you would know this, but my middle name, and I'm serious, my middle name is Montrose.
Huh.
My mother's maiden name, and both my brother and I have Montrose as our middle name, so I was quite intrigued to come to Montrose the first time. There's also Montrose, Scotland, that I was excited to
get. You just tour Montrose.
I'm doing all Montroses. Yeah, that's going to be my claim to fame. I only play towns called Montrose.
I like that idea. So, who's going to play with you when you come out here?
Well, I've been experimenting with a different lineup than I've been playing with recently. This album has kind of pushed me towards this. There's a lot of guitar on this record, and I didn't have a guitar player for a long, long time. It was usually just either a piano trio or a piano trio with a trumpet player. But because this album ended up with a lot of guitar playing, not only have I hired a guitar player to tour with me, but I get out my guitar every now and then. I mean, I'm a singer and a saxophonist normally. That's how people know me. But I can, in fact, stand in front of an audience and strum my guitar and sing a song. So I decided to kind of shake it up. I did a few dates this year with just my guitar player and myself. And I just go out and play my guitar and occasionally pick up the sax and play. And we will do everything from songs from my first record, which are more pop songs, and I'll just do them kind of in the solo acoustic folky versions of them. We'll do that, and we'll do, you know, songs from the Sons of Anarchy soundtrack, and then we'll turn on a dime and play a straight ahead jazz tune, you know, with scat singing and the whole deal. And it's really fun for me. It allows me to kind of, you know, show off all the sides of what I do. And it seems to keep the audience on its toes. And I mean, if you're bored with this song, just wait 5 minutes. You're going to probably have a completely different style on the next tune. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm bringing my guitarist to Shaky Dave Mannion, who happens to live here in Idaho, near me, and then my pianist is coming out from New York City. Matthew Freese will be playing with me, so it'll be a trio gig, and it'll be a widely ranging concert stylistically, which I think is good. I think people, jazz is in fact both literally and figuratively a four-letter word to a lot of people. Sometimes jazz can scare people off, and certainly there will be a bit of that, but it won't by any means be strictly a jazz concert.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And then are you going to tour? Are you on a bigger tour right now?
Well, my life is a bigger tour. I tend to not stay out on the road for weeks or months at a time, but I'm always touring. You know, I'm actually going to California on Friday. I've got a couple of dates in Los Angeles and a couple of dates in San Francisco, and then I'll be doing the Montrose gig, and then I'll be in Aspen in February, and then Germany in March. I spend a lot of time in Europe. That's where I tend to make most of my living and do most of my touring, is in England and Germany and France and Scandinavia. They seem to like me over there, and they pay me, so I go.
Yeah, no doubt. What's one of your favorite places to perform over there?
Well, I love London. I've really fallen in love with all of England, and London is just a great town. I've got a lot of friends there that I've made over the last 20 years of making music and touring. Copenhagen is a great city. I adore it. It's wonderful. You can't really go wrong with Paris. It's kind of sort of hard to complain about Paris. I like a lot of cities over there. I played in Edinburgh, Scotland, 3 times this past year, and that was really nice to get to know that city. It's one of the underrated cities in the world. It's so gorgeous. It looks like it looks like an ancient town. It's really wonderful. So
that's one place I've always wanted to go. I met some people from Edinburgh when I was in England, and I couldn't understand a word they were saying.
Yeah, it is tricky.
It was English, but it just was so different.
when they introduce me, I like to repeat it back when I get on stage. It's always, ladies and gentlemen, Curtis Stigers. Just all that rolling R. Curtis Stigers.
Well, it's been really nice to talk to you, Curtis, and we're looking so forward to your visit here.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me, and those of you who are jazz fans, come out and hear some jazz, and those of you who are not, don't be afraid. There will be, we will rock, and we'll folk too.
And we're going to go out with one more track off of Curtis Stiger's latest release, Let's Go Out Tonight. This is the song, This Bitter Earth.
This bitter earth, what fruit it bears, what good is love that no one shares? And live my life is like the dust that hides the glow of a rose. What good am I? Heaven only knows. This bitter earth can be so cold. Today you're young, too soon you're old. But while a voice within me cries, I'm sure someone may answer my call when this bitter, oh, this bitter may not be so bitter after all. Someone may answer my call, and this bitter earth, oh, may not be so bitter after all.